The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. In a new survey, 6 out of 10 people say they could not cope without their phone for more than a day.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I'm one of them. I need it to flip crypto. You do crypto, don't you, Mike?
Because no, I don't.
Fortune favors the brave. I don't understand anything about crypto.
I don't understand a thing about it. I understand this, though. I can't go without my phone for more than 6 to 8 minutes.
I care about crypto. I want to know if I go into a bank and I have a bunch of crypto, do they give me money or like a box of blueberries?
Where would you have gotten the crypto from? Where would you have gotten the crypto?
I would have bought it because I'm a moron. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, could Kyrie Irving get cleared for home games? Will Duke go down tonight? And could Atlanta say see you to Freddie Freeman? But we begin today with an article in The Athletic speculating about how much power LeBron James will wield in getting the Lakers to do what he wants. The GM, Rob Pelinka, was once Kobe Bryant's agent, and they argued for power over the roster at various times. So Pelinka is not unfamiliar with diva players. Wilbon, how much power should Pelinka cede to LeBron in reshaping the Lakers?
Well, he could cede it all. But in this case, for the first time, Tony, the first time, I wouldn't see much, if any, if I thought I could put together a team. LeBron's not going to be there forever. How long is he going to be in L.A.? A year or two more? He got one more year after this anyway and becomes a free agent 24. I mean, how long is he going to be there forever? This is not like Cleveland in 2006 or something, or Miami in 2010-11 or even Cleveland in 2015. It's not any of those. LeBron's not going to play forever. I know everybody wants to have him being Tom Brady. It's not going to be that. So you look at how you want to put together your roster. Yes, you take into account everything LeBron James is thinking, and then you make a decision, but cede power to do what? If he's going to be in Cleveland in a couple of years, what are the Lakers going to have to do with that?
So I'm going to be more declarative than you on this particular question. I'm going to first say that this comes up because LeBron was said to be very miffed at the fact that the Lakers didn't do much at the trade deadline. They didn't do anything. It wasn't they didn't do much. They didn't do anything. Okay, so now if you're the GM of the Lakers, you have to look short-term and long-term. There is no long-term with LeBron. LeBron has already announced that long-term for LeBron is to play one season with his son, and he doesn't much care where. If you draft him, you get LeBron. As I said yesterday, it's a BOGO. So if you are Rob Pelinka, what you are trying to do is get rid of LeBron before he gets rid of you, which he has done in various cities. If you're Rob Pelinka, Mike, I think you look to trade him to Cleveland next year. Like after this year, trade him to Cleveland and pick up some of the assets that Cleveland has. I don't think you should do anything other than that. Because you're going to be in business for a while selling tickets long after LeBron is gone.
Yeah, and in the short term, the Lakers aren't any good. And they're not going to be any good. Unless you got two assets. You got LeBron and you got Anthony Davis. Those are your primary assets. What are
one
you
of
willing
them's made
to
out
do?
Of glass.
Well, I mean, listen. The point is, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to, I mean, it'd be pretty bold to trade either one of them. And I know great players have been traded. It was great sitting around with Jack Ramsey one night, Tone, when he said, you want to hear the story about the time I traded Wilt? It's like the greatest
Wilt's
sentence of all time. Yes, I want to hear.
Right.
I want to hear that story. So the greatest players can be traded.
There are only two franchises that matter historically in the league. There's only two. There's the Celtics and the Lakers. They've got to try to win. They brought in LeBron to win. He missed the playoffs one year. They won the next year when they got Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
But LeBron can huff and puff all he wants. He can be traded if they want to do that. So I want to see how Rich Paul and Rob Pelinka work this thing out. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, well, they're not going to work it out this year. It's not going to be worked out before the playoffs start in April when the Lakers could be in the play-in game. Could be. Let's move to the endless baseball negotiations. Players and owners met today for a third consecutive day. And while they try to chip away at a financial agreement, Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated writes that it's the sport itself that needs fixing. He says the rise of analytics has led to less action and less fun. Amen. He argues things are getting worse rather than better. Tony, are you with Verducci and me that baseball's biggest issue is its product?
Well, I'm mostly with Verducci. I like you, but I'm mostly with Verducci on this. But let me just say this. In the last story, I talked about short-term and long-term. The long-term problems are more significant than anything else, but you got to get on the field first. You got to settle the short-term first. And the short-term, we are led to believe by Jeff Passan. I talked to Richard Justice today, now Tom Verducci. The short-term is about money. The players are making less money now than they did before. They want more money, and they want to get a situation where they don't have to wait 5, 6, 7, 8, 30 years in order to get a second contract. So they have to settle that, and they're also incredibly distrustful of Rob Manfred and the owners. The greater problems, you and Verducci are right, the greater problems are pretty simple. One is that there's no action, there's too many strikeouts, too many walks, and too many home runs at the moment. And the second part of this is, and I want to look at my notes, pace of play is too slow. Mike, it's vital for sports to change with the times, to continue to be entertaining. Football changes every year. They make new rules every year, and people watch. Baseball, and the players are responsible for this too. Baseball's a dinosaur stuck in the mud, and it's gonna die unless they evolve and change these rules.
Well, there's some things that are evolving, and they are for the worse. They've made the game worse, because you've got these analytics people, as Verducci points out, running the game from the front office instead of the dugout. You don't even have baseball people running baseball. You've got analytics people who often are not baseball people, Tone. They're numbers crunchers. And it's ruining the game when a guy with a perfect game has to come out after six innings because somebody in the GM's office is screaming at the manager on the phone to get him out. Baseball's got a big problem. You know what, Tone? Both these sides are oblivious. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking, even if they get the money, the game is largely garbage because of these sorts of things that are decided over the game and not on the field.
Again, let me go to the notes just for a second because there's four major things here. The analytics, that's just a tool to tell you how to win. What they tell you now, the way the game is played, is young players are more important than old players, so veterans are not needed. Young pitchers are more important than old hitters, so veterans are not needed. Power guys are more valuable than contact guys. Guys have been around a long time as contact guys are not needed.
So Ricky Henderson wouldn't be in the game today.
Right, and defensive shifts affect the game all the time. Mike, the argument that the players have shouldn't be with the owners. It should be with the analytics itself. And that must change for the players to make more money and keep their veterans
change.
Around.
You're right. Baseball revenues are going to go down because the game's not as popular. But they don't, none of them seem smart enough. And there are a lot of smart people. They don't seem smart enough, Tone, to realize it.
Their feet are in the tar and they're dinosaurs and they're going to die and become oil. Let's stay with baseball. Buster Olney of ESPN reports there is growing speculation that Freddie Freeman could land somewhere other than Atlanta. He's a lifelong Brave, an MVP, a World Series champion. He's a tremendous presence in the clubhouse. What about would the Braves be making a mistake losing Freeman?
Tone, And they don't have to. And of course, we just talked about things being about money. And so I understand not wanting to pay somebody, you know, $35 million when he's 37 years old. We saw how that worked with Albert Pujols. It didn't work. But, Tone, there are creative ways if baseball wants to do this, and certain clubs maybe. Maybe there's an analytics guy in their front office who's paying attention. So instead of offering Freddie Freeman a 5 or 6 year deal, offer to pay him like $45 million a year for 3 years. Now, at 32, because at 32, 33, and 34, you think he could be the stud that just led you to the World Series again. So front load the contract. Is anybody thinking? Does anybody, like, actually say, hey, wait a minute, let's not just follow lazily along in some path that's going to get us a guy who's overpaid at 40? I don't know what they're thinking.
So give me a chance to blow a kiss to Freddie Freeman, which I'm going to do now. Because I watch the Braves a lot. The Braves are in the same division As a team, I root for the Washington Nationals. Freddie Freeman kills the Nats. Game after game, year after year, kills the Nats. If he played 162 a year against Washington, he'd be the greatest player of all time. And I admire him. And what amazes me, Mike, and I'm sure you've seen this, when somebody gets to first base, I don't care what this person looks like, don't care. He always engages with Freddie Freeman. He always laughs and chats and smiles with Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman appears to be the most popular guy in a high school. He must be great in the clubhouse. He should be a Brave for life. Mike.
Seems like Cal
Ripken. He should be like Henry Aaron.
The new Cal Ripken.
Like Chipper Jones, John Smoltz. I don't understand why they would ever let him go. He's a civic treasure in Atlanta. But if they let him go, then the Dodgers and the Yankees, teams that understand winning, teams that understand how to go for it right now, they'll scoop him up. Left-handed power-hitting first baseman in Yankee Stadium. Could I interest you in that?
The Braves don't have to. The Braves have money. They print money, too. Maybe they don't have quite as much as the Yanks and the Sox and the Dodgers and, you know, the Angels. But they got money. The Braves can pay Freddie Freeman. Get creative about it. Pay him. Make him look at the next 3 years of his life and say, oh, my God, they're giving me a king's ransom. I don't have to wait till I'm 39 to get it.
I understand what you're saying about Pujols. I'd add Chris Davis. I'd add Miggy Cabrera. You're right. Pay him now. Pay him more money now than you want to while he has productive years. And then when he's a universal DH, he's going to get years at the end of the deal. Let's take a break. But coming up, did UConn coach Dan Hurley really deserve to get ejected last night? Ejected? Eject this.
Oh, there's an inside story there that we can't tell. What are the chances that Virginia knocks off the Dukies for a second time in a couple of weeks tonight? Oh, that's a great story.
That was from Lee Smith, as you know.
That's the Lee Smith
story. Yeah.
That story is now on.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Horizon Forbidden West. Rated T for teen.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to trade words with Wilbon. And what's the word? What's first?
It was blank of the referees to eject UConn coach Dan Hurley last night.
It was borderline. I mean, he was beginning to go crazy. He got the first technical. He slammed his hand on the table to dispute a call. And then he got the second technical when he turned to the crowd and egged on the crowd, provoked the crowd, you know, into screaming. Here's the deal. It's a close call. They don't have to take him out. They don't. It's the first half. But he was becoming unhinged, and I guess they felt that he was instigating and provoking, so they did it. The most important thing that went bad for Danny Hurley last night is his team won. They beat Villanova without him at all in the second half, and he went to bed last night thinking this: I better stay on a bench, because if they can win without me, they don't really need me.
This was hypersensitive junk from those referees. I know a great many referees in my life, and you do too, and a lot of referees in every sport, across every sport, I would call my friends. And they're not like this. They understand they're going to get booed. You get guys now, and they're young enough, and by young enough, I mean even in their early 40s maybe, and they think it's about them somehow, as if it's against some rules for the coach to incite, yes, provoke, the fans to boo them. You're wearing a striped jersey, dude. You get booed. I would have stood up and looked straight at them and started screaming at them if I had been close enough last night. That was hypersensitive garbage, yeah. And those guys should be suspended for a game each for throwing Hurley out. They should be suspended.
You would stand up in every arena in America and scream at referees if you could. What's next?
No, I wouldn't.
Virginia.
Too much respect.
Virginia has a blank chance of upsetting Duke again tonight.
Reasonable chance. Not a puncher's chance. A much better chance than a puncher's chance. They beat Duke at Duke. Okay, it's on a last second three, but they won that game, and this game is in Virginia. Mike, I think they need this game to get into the NCAAs. If they were to beat Duke two times in a year, a top 10 team, I think that gets them in. The ACC is having a down year. Virginia's 17-10 and Duke is 23-4. But Joe Lunardi, for example, he projects four other ACC teams in now. Miami, North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Wake. But he's got them all at 9s and 10s, which means they're unsteady with their footing. If Virginia wins two, and those teams, three of those teams haven't beaten Duke at all, and Miami has one win, the others are 0-for. If Virginia wins two, I think they're in.
If you're 23-4, and you become 23-5, and two of your losses are to Virginia, they damn well better be in, and Lunardi better get with the program. I mean, look, I watched that entire game that Virginia won. They were 1-for-12 from three when they hit that three to win the game in Durham. And all these games are the last games in that arena and that incredible arena for Mike Krzyzewski. So,
Do you have a word?
Necessary. It's necessary, Tone, this game would be, because like you, apparently, Virginia's on the outside looking in right now. They get this game. I expect them to take a step onto the bubble higher.
That's the final word. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Tom Brady plans to be in a Hollywood movie.
And is New York on the verge of clearing the way for Kyrie Irving to play home games for the Nets? Oh, my God.
Tom Brady should be in the movies. He's good looking. He's got nothing else to do. You know, we can get craft services to give him avocado ice cream. What's wrong with that?
If you listen to all these shows.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 25th birthday, Jamal Murray. Murray hasn't played 1 minute all season for the Denver Nuggets. He tore his ACL last April in the midst of his finest season, where he was averaging 21 points and 5 assists and shooting 41% from three. You play with Nikola Jokic, you get a lot of open threes. Murray had announced himself in the 2020 playoffs, where he averaged 27 points a game, shot 51% from the field, 45% from three.
Move.
He went for 50 a couple of times in those playoffs, prompting Michael Ray Wilbon to call him on this show an emerging superstar.
There was
no particular timetable for Murray's return, only a team president using the amorphous term, and I quote, the not-too-distant future, unquote. So many great players are injured in the NBA. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Zion Williamson, Paul George, Klay Thompson for 2 years. Are their bodies built for this?
So I remember Chris Paul, even though it's a thumb, we're not talking about, you know, sort of legs or something like that, which is good. Murray, he's a great player. He said to me, Tone, I was supposed to pass this along to you 2 years ago. He loved it when you waved the flag. You know Murray is Canadian. I take it you do know that.
I do know that.
Great
young
player.
At least I know that now. And again, fortune favors the brave. Happy anniversary, Nate McMillan. On this day 35 years ago, the 30th pick in the 1986 draft out of North Carolina State, tied the rookie record for assists in a single game. dishing out 25 assists for Seattle against the Clippers. That matched the 25 Ernie DiGregorio had for Buffalo in 1974 against Portland. Permit me to say that Ernie DiGregorio is the best ball handler I've ever seen, including Pete Maravich. Ernie DiGregorio could get it to you, but I digress. McMillan played his entire 12-year career with Seattle, averaging 6 points and six assists. He also coached Seattle for 5 years, earning him the nickname Mr. Sonic. Now with Seattle out of the league, it sounds like he managed a drive-in hamburger joint. McMillan also coached Portland and Indiana. He's now coaching Atlanta, who he guided to the conference finals last year. McMillan is 716 and 629 lifetime. That's good.
It's not just a shame there's no basketball team in Seattle. It's a sin. It's sin. It's just bad for the NBA to not be in Seattle. And by the way, Ernie D, he's great. Isaiah Thomas, even above Kyrie, Isaiah Thomas, best ball handler I've ever seen. And you have said yourself you would take Isaiah Thomas with the ball in his hands in the last 30 seconds. You've said that.
Of course I would. I'm just saying that Ernie got passes to people that I never saw people do, including Maravich. That's all I'm saying about that. Covered him at Providence. Happy trails to Kyrie Irving sitting out Nets home games. New York City Mayor Eric Adams today said the city will soon be announcing measures to roll back vaccine mandates. One of those mandates has kept the famously unvaccinated Irving from playing in home games. If that ban is lifted in the coming weeks, and no timeline was announced today, Irving would presumably be cleared to play at Barclays Center. Irving is averaging 24-5-5, playing only road games this season, though the Nets are only 4-10 in those games. Wilbon, this could mean that the Nets could add Kyrie Irving to home games, add back the injured Kevin Durant, and add in the newly acquired Ben Simmons all before the playoffs begin. How significant could that be?
Very significant, Tone. That's why Vegas still has them, you know, winning the championship. But to me, that's just too much to pull together in a very short period of time. Teams have 21, 22 games left. The Nets would have fewer, like 16. Too much to pull together in that short a period to actually win it all when there's a time where there are a lot of good teams in the league, a lot.
I think the critical guy is Simmons. I really do.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if Simmons plays like he played in his first year, that they actually can, I don't think they will win it, but they can
play
win it.
For
Let us
like
go to the big
10
finish.
Months. Let's do it.
U.S. men's midfielder Weston McKennie is out 8 to 12 weeks with 2 foot fractures. I assume that's a big loss.
Yes, he's one of the best players, if not the best American player. He and Pulisic, I mean, they're, you know, at the top of the pyramid for that honor right now. So that's a big loss. The Hollywood Reporter says Tom Brady, the Golden Boy, will produce and appear in a road trip movie called 80 for Brady. Your thoughts?
So I wrote this down. Lily Tomlin's in it. Jane Fonda's in it. Rita Moreno's in it. Sally Field is in it. It's a road trip movie. So
Sally
where
Field,
are Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine? Where are they? You can't do this movie without them. Klay Thompson tells The Athletic he's ahead of schedule. Is that significant?
Yeah, because he's starting to round into pretty darn good shape right now. That would be significant, like an addition for the Dubs. Zdeno Chara tied Chris Chelios' record for most games played by a defenseman. Wow, that's impressive, isn't it?
It's an all-time record. This league's been around 80 to 100 years, and he's got the most games.
100.
Yes.
100
yes,
years.
Certainly.
102.
Last one, U.S. women's soccer against Iceland tonight in the She Believes Cup final. He got
it's going to be 24 degrees in Frisco, Texas. Does that favor either side? I'm not sure how that works. Cold out here in the West, Tom.
Favors Iceland, I would think. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Allie Mercer, thank you. You're good.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Tone, there's snow here in the desert.